Praise the Lord. If you'd like to support the ministry here, you can do so through PayPal or Venmo or mailing to Post Office Box 67, Chicora, Pennsylvania, 16025. May God richly bless you. I've titled this message, Where Are the Others? Where are the others? This question was asked by our Lord after He healed 10 guys of leprosy. Okay, this was a debilitating disease that made them outcasts. They were cast out of society. They were cast out of the place where everybody else resided, where everybody else existed, where everybody else lived, where everybody else breathed, where everybody else did everything else. These guys were not permitted. They were cast out of everyday life because of their condition. Now this is the fifth part in the Flee the Darkness series of messages. God's Word is clear. Believers are to turn from any and all darkness. We're not to walk in darkness. Almighty God defines what that darkness is. Almighty God defines evil. Almighty God defines wickedness and sin. And we're not authorized to change His definitions. We are not given permission from God to change what sin is. We're not permitted to change what wickedness is. We are not permitted to change what iniquity is. God defines those things. We're given the opportunity to walk within His light, and His light guides us out of darkness. We're not authorized to change His definitions of evil, wickedness, or sin, because these things are darkness. They're darkness. And that's not what God wants for His people. We're instructed to lead others out of darkness by shining the light of Christ. And even those people who are lost in religion need to find their way. Some people are lost in religion. They think they have a relationship, but their relationship is with rules and regulations. Their relationship is with man-made traditions. Their relationship is with everything but the truth of God's Word. The message today will shed light on an aspect of darkness that few comprehend as darkness, and that would be ingratitude. Unthankfulness. As Bob and Judy were talking about these children that are without shoes, I think, I've got probably a half a dozen pairs of shoes, and I've got a pair of boots, and I think, I am really blessed. I am really blessed. My feet are always covered with something, if I want them to be covered. Now, if I'm walking on the sand of a beach, I like to feel that sand under my feet. So I walk without shoes there. But would you want to walk every day, all day, everywhere without shoes? Most people don't. Now, I want you to remember the story that Jesus told about the man who was forgiven a great debt. Remember, it was a debt he could not pay. And yet he went out and he refused to forgive someone else. And you know the main reason that occurred to me why that man would not forgive someone else? Is because he was ungrateful for the forgiveness that he received. We did this, we shared this story during a series of messages on forgiveness and how we are to forgive others. But the idea of being ungrateful or unthankful came to mind as I was preparing this message, because that would lead somebody not to forgive someone else. If you're not grateful for what you've received, you're certainly not going to provide it to anyone else. Because of that man's ingratitude and his unforgiveness of others, he was called wicked. And that's why I say unforgiveness is darkness. We need to be those who give thanks. We need to be those who are grateful. We need to be those who are thankful. Giving thanks and expressing gratitude are both commanded in Scripture. In 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 8, it's written, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples." This This is an act of bearing the light, giving thanks. It is light bearing. Okay? Bearing the light of Christ into the world, sharing it by saying, yes, I am grateful. I am thankful. I'm thankful that I have clothing to wear. I'm thankful. The minimal things, the least tiny little things. Think about it. I can go over here and I can turn a thermostat. I can hit a little button and I can warm this room up. Or in the heat of summer, I can hit that same device and I can cool the room down. I'm thankful for that. There are lots of people that don't have that luxury, and we take it for granted. We need to be thankful. We need to be people of thanks. Instructions that are given to thank the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. That phrase is found 15 times in the Scriptures. 15 times. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. And I know you get tired of hearing me repeat it, but it's repeated in the Scriptures. And the reason is it's for your own good. It is for your own good to give thanks to the Lord. It's for your own good. It's an act of light bearing. Many other passages of Scripture speak generally of giving thanks and praise and instruct us to give thanks and praise. And there are those who write, I will give thanks. I will praise your name. They knew something. They knew something. In Ephesians 5:20, we hear the instruction for believers to always give thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're going to open up with a passage of Scripture that's found in the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel record. Now you'll find that there in the Bibles in your seats on page 1617. 1617, page 1617. That's Luke's Gospel record, page 1617. Luke was a doctor. He was a physician. And he was a detail-oriented man. He wrote the details of things that he heard from other people. His gospel record is a compilation of all of the accounts that he gathered as he was searching to write this record. He wanted to know, what did people have to say? What happened? And this particular account only occurs in his gospel record. Luke is the only one that brings this account to light. Before we read there, I want us to pray. Heavenly Father, You are the one with all power and authority. And so I surrender myself completely to You for Your total control, Father. I yield myself to You. I ask, Lord, that You would forgive my shortcomings. Give me unction to preach Your word, Father, today. Please, guide me to shine Your light with Your message. I thank You for our listeners from across this country and all around the world, Lord. I ask that You would remove all distractions from our minds. As we listen to Your Word and we hear, Lord, the message that You've prepared through Your speaker today, I ask that You would just clear our minds of every distraction. For those who are unable to be here, Lord, and those who are unwilling, we ask that You would bless them as well. For those who will be listening online today and others who will be listening all around the world, I ask that You would bless them. Open the eyes and the ears of our understanding, Father. Enable all who hear this to yield to You. And I ask that You would teach us to share Your good news of victory over darkness. Use us, Lord, to shine the light of Christ throughout the world, I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Excuse me, amen. We'll read the gospel record according to Luke. What did I say? Lost my place. Page 1617. Yep. Thank you, Jim. Now, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And so it was that they went. They were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And that man was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were not there 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." I ask that God would add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. And Father, I ask that You would take a hold of my mouth today, that I would speak only Your truth. I ask that You would take away the resistance, Lord, and open up Your Word, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You know, in the King James Version of the Bible, it says, "It came to pass." Not "now it happened." It says, "It came to pass that when he was on his way between Samaria," he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he walks in the midst of Samaria and Galilee. "It came to pass." Everything in this life comes to pass. Nothing lasts forever. It's not going to. And all of us need to be recognizing that. If we have a time of lack, this too shall pass. If we have a time of plenty, this too shall pass. And we all need to understand that in order for us to have the best life that we can have, we need to give thanks, no matter what our circumstances are. The Scripture makes it clear, in all things give thanks. But as he passed through the middle, okay, the midst there, that means the middle of Samaria and Galilee, he entered a certain village. And that's interesting because Luke, being the detail-oriented guy, he doesn't say what the name of the village is. Luke didn't know. If he knew, he would have written it. Somebody told Luke this story, that this happened, okay? And as he entered that village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. And they stood far off. They met him, they saw him, they knew he was coming, but they stood far off. And, you know, there's a picture there of all of us before we come to Christ. We're all far off. We're all away. We are all outcasts. We're not a part of God's kingdom until we come into His kingdom. And think about that, okay? Just for a moment. Allow that to sink in. They lifted up their voices. They didn't whisper. They lifted up their voices. "Jesus, have mercy on us." They cried out to Him in desperation because here they were living with this disease that was debilitating. They would lose the feeling in their extremities. And because of that, they were in danger of injuring those extremities, whether it be feet, hands, whatever. Their skin would get patchy white. It would lose its color, its pigment. It's a very debilitating disease. I won't go into all the graphic details of it, but it's really bad, okay? And so they cry out to Him, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And what does He say? He tells them to do something illegal. He says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." They weren't allowed to do that. They were lepers. They weren't allowed to go near the priests. They were unclean. Religiously, they were unclean. So often in our society today, we don't want to have people come in because they're unclean. But Jesus said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, what's it say? They were cleansed. See, now Jesus knew they were going to be cleansed. He knew the moment that they begged him to heal them, that they would be healed. As soon as they allowed him that opportunity to exercise his ability, his power, his authority on their bodies, as soon as they submitted to him, then they had what they submitted to him for. Just as we prayed for Terry today. I said, Terry, do you want us to pray for you? And he nodded his head. He submitted himself to the will of God upon his life, the same as what these men did. They submitted themselves to the will of Almighty God that they would be healed. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned. And what's it say? He whispered a praise to God. No. It says, let me get the light here just right. It says, with a loud voice, he glorified God. With a loud voice. He didn't whisper his praise to God. He shouted it out to God. Hallelujah! Praise be to God! So often we lose sight of that. God doesn't mind if we raise our voices, folks. He doesn't mind if we shout a praise to Him. He doesn't mind. In fact, I would submit to you that God welcomes us to shout our praises to Him. His word shows Jesus didn't rebuke him. Jesus didn't tell him, oh, hush it, hush, hush, hush. Don't raise your voice. Keep it down now. No. And that one, with a loud voice, glorified God, and then he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. And do you know what that is? That's an act of worship. An act of worship. When you fall on your face in thanksgiving to Almighty God, you fall down on your face. Give God glory. He's praising God. And he's thanking Jesus for healing him. And he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. The Samaritans were like cousins to the Jews. They were not friends. They were not buddies. They were enemies. You listen to some of the other accounts of Samaritans and Jews interacting, you see they were not getting along. But this Samaritan came back to this Jew and he said, thank you, I'm healed. And so Jesus said, aren't there 10? Where's the rest? Where are the rest? 10 were healed. Where's the other 9? And too often, folks, we are the other 9. Too often, we are the ones that aren't returning to the Lord in thanks. When we receive anything from God, anything, we need to say, thank you, Lord. And sometimes the things that we receive are not maybe what we want. And maybe it's not what we like. And maybe, just maybe, it's not what we prayed for. Sometimes God gives us things that we would never want. Don't pray for patience. You'll get things that require it. Okay? You don't get the patience. It's not like God downloads a patience program on you. Here you go. There you go. You got patience. No. He gives you things and ways to exercise patience. The same as with strength. When we say, God, give me strength, He gives us the opportunity to exercise that which He gives us within, and that's His Spirit guiding us. Think about that. Weren't there 9? Excuse me, where are the 9? Nobody came back except this foreigner? He said, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now some preachers say that at that moment that man was born again because he came back. I'm not going to get into all that. I'm going to show you that that equation still holds true to this day. Not everybody who's blessed will be grateful. Not everybody who's blessed will give thanks. Sadly, most will be ungrateful. And that, my friends, is darkness of another kind. In this case, it was 9 out of 10 who were healed that did not express gratitude. All 10 received the blessing, but only 1 gave thanks. Giving thanks and expressing gratitude has a profound effect upon the human body. Did you know that? Science is starting to find out. They're starting to realize, the scientists are starting to realize that giving thanks actually has a profound effect on the human body and the mind. In fact, the Harvard School of Medicine, Harvard Health Publishing reported, in positive psychology research, gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Give thanks and feel better. You're feeling down? Give thanks to God for something. You're feeling unhappy? Give thanks to God for something that made you happy in the past. It says gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions. Gratitude helps people relish good experiences. Gratitude helps people improve their health. Gratitude helps people deal with adversity. Gratitude helps people build strong relationships. That's the Harvard Medical School saying this. This is science today. Modern science is starting to recognize what God has known all along. Give thanks and feel better. Be grateful and receive the blessing. And, you know, I was listening to an educational piece about this. It was a scientist who was talking about how it lengthens the DNA, which then also will lengthen your life. And I can't go into all the details. I couldn't remember them all anyway. But that is why it works. God has made you to be thankful. And when you give thanks, you are extending your very life. Give thanks for everything. Thank you, Lord. We have heat in this building. Thank you, Lord. People had automobiles to get here today. Thank you, Lord, that they had gasoline in those automobiles. Thank you, Lord, that they had batteries that would charge the starter to get the starter to turn the engine over. Thank you, Lord, that those batteries held a charge. Thank you, Lord, that they have headlights to put on when they come out in the dark. Thank you, Lord, that they've got tires to roll on that vehicle. Now, you want to go into thanks? Let me tell you. I'll get to that. Another thing they said was most of the studies published on this topic of giving thanks support an association between gratitude and an individual's well-being. Being grateful people makes us better people. Then you look at this guy that came back to Jesus and gave his thanks, he gave his praise, he gave his glory to God. And Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Now, I want each of you, in the coming weeks, I want you to undertake this task, okay? For the next few weeks, I want you to dedicate just 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes, okay? You've got 24 hours. You might sleep 4, 6, 8, or more of those. But you got 5 minutes. Take 5 minutes each day, every day, to write down a few things that you're grateful for. Now, you saw me go through a little litany of things right there. You got a car? Think about that car. What does it take for it to roll down the road? It's got to be inspected. It has to have a license plate on it. Because of our statutory system, you've got to be within the confines of the law to run that vehicle. It's got to have gasoline or diesel fuel or something that it operates on. Think about those things and give God thanks for them. And I'm just using that as an example, just as an example. I'm not saying think about your car and give God thanks for your car. Give God thanks for anything. You decide what it is that you have to be thankful for. You have a roof over your head? I'm guessing all of us do. Give thanks for the roof over your head. Give thanks that it's not leaking. And if it is leaking, thank God. You've got fresh water you can collect out of that and use for something. I mean, seriously, give thanks for everything. Get a small tablet of paper, and I want you to physically write down the things that you're thankful for. And the reason I say physically, or we could do just tapping something into an app or whatever. I don't want you to do that. I want you to actually get some paper, and I want you to write it down. Because the physical act of writing it down uses another part of your brain, and it helps to seat that thankfulness into your heart. You see it with your eyes. You can speak it with your mouth. Different parts of your brain operate for those different things. And when you write it with your hand, you're actually using another part of your brain. So now you've got three pieces of your brain operating. I am thankful that each and every one of you is here to receive this message today. And I can write that down. Now, my ears have heard it, my mouth has spoken it, and my hand has written it. That's three witnesses. By the testimony of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. Remember, this is important, folks. I want you to do this. I'm not just saying this to be idle, okay? I'm not just saying this because I want you to think, wow, this is a nice little illustration. No, I really want you to do it for your own good. It's important that you do it. Get that tablet. Write down 10 things or more that you're grateful for or thankful for every day. And if you want to do more, great. But please, please, for your own good, take 5 minutes and write down what you are thankful for. Now, I know some of you will look at the clock and say, well, let's see, it's 5 after. I'm going to wait exactly 5 after, then at 10 after I can stop. I don't want you to be legalistic about it. I just want you to take about 5 minutes to write down what you're grateful for. Are you grateful for your family? Great. Name every single one of them. That could take you 5 minutes. In my case, it might take 15 minutes. If you're thankful for your children and your grandchildren, write down their names. I am thankful for, and write their names down. Write the things that you are thankful for. There's no right or wrong answers here. I'm not going to tell you what to write down, but I really want you to do this exercise. It's important, okay? The process of doing this, actually participating in this little exercise, 5 minutes a day, I know you can spare 5 minutes to give God thanks for whatever it is that you're thankful for. And if you can't think of anything, ask Him to reveal something to you. Hey, you're breathing, right? God, I am thankful that I'm breathing. I'm thankful I can speak. I'm thankful that I have clothes on my back. I'm thankful I got a roof over my head. I'm thankful there are lights in this room. I'm thankful that we have heat. I'm thankful, Lord, that you provide light every single day in the way of sunshine. I'm thankful, Lord. You give us food every day, as the one young lady said, Brooke. I'm thankful. And when you do that, the more you do that, the better you are going to feel. Now, years ago, as I started to tell the children, I took a legal tablet. Anybody know what a legal tablet is? It's about so big, about so wide. And I started writing things on that tablet. I thought, well, maybe I can get 10 things, you know. And at first, I struggled. We were in a bad way. I was not in the will of God. I had been running from God for years. I did not want to be a pastor, and anybody who knows me knows that. There are people probably listening online that know that. But I took that tablet, and I started writing down what I was grateful for, what I was thankful for. And I thought, I was thankful for my parents. I was thankful for my dad's service in the United States Marine Corps. I was thankful that I had people in my family who served to help keep this country safe during times of war. And I was thankful for all the lights and the heat and all that. Then I started thinking, wait a minute, I'm thankful for the wires that carry the electricity to the lights. And then I followed that back in my mind. Wait a minute, I'm thankful for that meter on the house so the electric company can charge me for that electricity. Well, I wasn't thankful for that. But I was thinking, I'm thankful for the wires that come to the house. I'm thankful for the wires that come from the generation station. I'm thankful for the compressor, whatever they're called, the things on the telephone poles, transformers. I started tracing it all back in my mind, okay. And then I started thinking, wait a minute, I'm thankful for this hot water. I have hot water. I can actually soak in a hot water tub to relieve my physical pain. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the tub. Many people don't even have a tub. Now houses are built with only showers. So I have a tub. Praise God for the tub. Praise God for the hot water. Praise God for the pipes. Praise God for the water heater. Praise God for the gas, the natural gas that burns in that water heater. Praise God for the underground lines that come to the house. Praise God for the wells that the gas is generated from. And as I did that, I started to realize I have a lot to be thankful for. And so I got that whole sheet filled out. And I thought, I wonder if I can get any more. And so I started the next day writing things down that I was grateful for. And I filled that page. And then the next page. And before you knew it, I had the whole tablet filled with things that I was grateful for. And that was a turning point for me. It changed my perspective. I had a I had a dear professor when I was in college, when I was in Bible school, actually. His name was Eugene Lane. He was dyed-in-the-wool Nazarene. He made that clear to me. He was dyed-in-the-wool, buddy. He just loved the Nazarene faith. And I've shared this before, and I'll share it again. I came in one day, and I had a downcast look, and he said, "What's going on, John?" And I said, "My mother about burned their trailer down." And he said, "Praise the Lord!" He shouted it. I said, "What?" I was thrown off. "What do you mean, praise the Lord? You said she almost burned it down." I said, "Praise the Lord!" And I started to realize my perspective is wrong. I was upset that she caught the place on fire, and I overlooked the fact that she didn't burn it down. Needed a little bit of work, and that got taken care of. And so even when the car breaks down, let's praise the Lord that we were able to get off the road. Had a blowout one time, coming back from Pittsburgh. Right front tire. If you want to have a bad accident, have a front tire blow out on your vehicle. And it just sucked that old Suburban over to the guardrail. And I thought, this is it. But it didn't. It wasn't. And I shouted a praise the Lord. It was a relief praise. I was relieved. We need to do this every week. Think about this, okay? When was the last time that you thanked someone for anything? Even a little thing. Even a tiny thing. It's so easy to say thank you. It's so easy to thank God. And yet, sometimes we just overlook it. We forget. We don't think about it. It doesn't occur to us that maybe that one individual would like to hear, thank you. Thank you. Somebody holds the door for you. Thank you. Somebody pays your bill at the restaurant. Thank you. Those are easy ones, right? What if somebody picks up your newspaper and carries it to your door and says, "Well, it fell out and I didn't want it to get run over by a car and get ruined." Thank you. There's so many things that we can give thanks for, folks, and we need to start thinking about those things. As we progress in this dark time that we live in, we need to be people of thanks. We need to be people of light. Every week, we lift up our voices in praise here. Today, we got to hear Bob and Judy praising God for the work that He's using them to do there. They bring those water filtration systems into these third world countries, and they're helping people. As we heard them say, babies are living. Mothers aren't dying. Praise God. This little congregation can have a little part in that. Praise God. We lift up our praises and our testimonies, and it's not just a religious exercise. Oh, now we're going to go to this thing. Let's see. Let's check it off in the bulletin. We sang two hymns, and now we're going to go to worship and praises. Let's check that off, and then we'll go to prayer requests, and then we'll go to the children's time. No, it's not just an exercise that we do in religiosity. This isn't just religion. This is relational. We are thanking God for His provisions in our lives. It is like the one leper who came back and bowed himself down and said, "Thank you." It's an exercise in worship. Worship isn't just music, folks. And God has shown us that very clearly. The more you give thanks, the more your own body responds. Scientifically, okay, this isn't just me speaking, and I'm not going to cite all the references. I have looked at it. I've studied it a little bit, not a lot. But there is evidence that shows that your body responds to giving thanks. So, when we pray, somebody prayed for me. And I said, "Thank you, Lord. I know I have what you have promised." And you hold on to that thankful attitude, it changes you physically. And it's proven scientifically. This isn't just, well, faith, you know, comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God and you'll receive what you pray for because Jesus said so. He said it because it's true. That man who returned to the Lord blessed the Lord with gratitude. He shouted his praise to God, threw himself at the feet of our Savior. He was truly grateful. He was truly thankful. And his actions showed it. His actions showed that he was grateful. Now, I'm going to wrap this up. And I want to beg all believers who receive this message to heed the call of our Lord and Savior to give thanks. He said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light of life. And that life starts here and it goes on for eternity. Giving thanks is an act of walking in the light. Being ungrateful and unthankful is not. God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And we could say that He sent His Son in who was the light. He who was the light to draw us out of darkness. God is calling all of His people to flee the darkness. Flee ingratitude. Flee unthankfulness. He's calling you to walk fully in His light of gratitude. He wants you to lift up your praises to Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Praise Him. Glorify His name. It's written in Psalm 30 and verse 4, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. Every time you remember Christ, every time you remember your Creator, every single time that you think of God, give a praise of thanks. Just at the remembrance of His name. He loved you so much that He sent a way for you to have life. In Psalm 79:13, we hear, so we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. We need to be people of praise. We need to be people of thanks. We need to be people who are people of thanksgiving every day, not just one day a year. And I'm not saying not to celebrate. I'm not saying, you know, don't make a meal. That's not what I'm saying. Give thanks on that day. But do it on Friday too. And then on Saturday. And then next Sunday. And next Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And every day of your life, give thanks for the salvation that Almighty God has given you. Be thankful always. It's written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything. Be thankful. Always. Thus saith the Lord. And remember that gratitude benefits you too. I'm not telling you to do it just to benefit yourself, but let me tell you folks, as you give thanks, you grow spiritually, physically. It changes you. Give thanks for everything. Thank God in everything. And let your light of gratitude so shine that others will see your life and glorify your Father in heaven. Give thanks with a grateful heart. And know with certainty this is the will of God for you, individually and corporately. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that the light of the world is Jesus, and we ask, Father God, that You would guide us to give thanks. Help us to remember that Christ is the light of the world, and whoever follows Him will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. God, I ask that every single one of us would give thanks, that we would realize this is an act of walking in the light, and that being ungrateful and unthankful is not. Help us, Father, to be people of gratitude. Help us, Father, to be people of giving thanks, of thankfulness. Help us to give thanks at the remembrance of your holy name. We, your people, and the sheep of your pasture, help us to give you thanks forever. And in everything, Lord, help us to give thanks because we know this is your will in Christ Jesus for us. I pray this all in Christ's name, and all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. All right, now we'll do a closing hymn, number 213, The Light of the World is Jesus. And if you can stand, please stand as we sing. And I don't know how many verses we'll do. Let me take a look at it. Number 213. Do you have it, Rosalie? Number 213.